From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Canada has banned cruise ship travel in its waters for another year. Canadian transportation officials say the prohibition is a precautionary measure during the pandemic. As KHNS's Henry Leisure reports, the ban means cruises to Alaska are off the table in 2021 as well.
U.S. maritime law says foreign-flagged cruise ships need to stop in Canada between U.S. ports. That's why large cruise lines like Holland America, Norwegian Cruise Line, and Royal Caribbean stop in British Columbia before they begin their trips in Alaska. So when the Canadian government prohibited cruise ship travel to its ports last year, it effectively ended cruise tourism in Alaska, too. That cruise ship ban has now been extended until February of 2022. Juneau City Manager Rory Watt said he isn't surprised.
You know, since the new year, the tea leaves and the news has been progressively more pessimistic for the return of cruise ships this summer.
But he thought the extension of the ban might be for a few months, not the whole year.
3 months ago, we were thinking, well, we might see ships in May, and, you know, a month ago, maybe we'd see them in June. 2 weeks ago, maybe we'd see him in July. And last week was like, God, maybe we're going to see him in August.
It's not a done deal in Watt's mind, though. And the order from the Canadian government could be rescinded if the pandemic conditions improve before next February. But in Skagway, Mayor Andrew Cremata doesn't see any way forward in the meantime.
Any idea that there could be some kind of workaround is off the table now because the Canadian government has stated very clearly that cruise ships will not even be allowed in Canadian waters.
Some members of the cruise industry are hoping for an exemption from the law that requires cruise ships to stop in Canada before heading to Alaska. Ketchikan Visitors Bureau President and CEO Patty Mackey says that a request for a waiver has already been made to Alaska's lawmakers in Washington, D.C.
There's been considerable talk to our congressional delegation already, and I have a feeling it's going to amp up a little bit more now with this latest announcement.
Hours after the announcement, the office of Alaska Congressman Don Young sent a 3-page letter to the White House urging the Biden administration to help find a legal workaround with Canada that could salvage Alaska's 2021 cruise season. Not all cruises are affected by Canada's ban. Small cruise ships that start and end in Alaska will be able to operate when they meet COVID-19 protocols from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But if Southeast Alaska port communities are going to weather another year without any revenue from cruise ship passengers and related businesses, Rory Watt in Juneau said it's not going to happen without some help.
We are going to be hoping and praying for a large federal stimulus package.
According to the Cruise Lines Industry Association, cruises contributed $1.3 billion in direct spending to Alaska and generated 23,000 jobs before the pandemic. Businesses in Skagway have struggled to stay afloat after a year without any cruise tourism. It's pretty much the town's only industry. The municipality has scheduled a town hall meeting for next week to discuss backup plans now that it's clear ships won't be back this summer. With reporting from Jennifer Pemberton, Eric Stone, and Jacob Resnick, in Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
In the final weeks of the Trump administration, it announced a policy that would have the effect of rewarding states that vaccinated people quickly. Of all 50 states, Alaska still has the highest per capita vaccination numbers, so the change might have gotten even more doses of the vaccine into Alaskans' arms. But 2 weeks into the Biden administration, the emphasis has shifted to equity instead of speed. KTOO's Jeremy Shea talked with Alaska's top doctor about some of the contrasts.
Dr. Ann Zink, Alaska's chief medical officer, says the Trump administration's announcement that emphasized speed concerned her. She suggested it could invite gaming the system.
If I want to do a bunch of vaccine really quickly, I would put a bunch of pods in Anchorage for 20-year-old tech-savvy people.
Pod is a public health term for point of dispensing, basically a pop-up mass vaccination clinic. Her point was that it's easier to get vaccine to the state's urban areas and that younger people might have an easier time navigating an online appointment system. The current system prioritizes people over 65 and does send vaccine to rural areas.
Like, I could get a lot of people vaccinated super fast that way, but that's not going to decrease the morbidity and mortality associated to COVID in the same sort of way. So I think that we have to balance equity at the same time. And we also have to make sure that it's being distributed around the state, which takes more time and more energy and is going to go a bit slower. So I think it's important that we're balancing those things at the same time.
Of course, there was a presidential transition since that announcement was made, and the change that would have sent more vaccines to states administering them quickly didn't take effect. Now the Biden administration is also emphasizing equity in its vaccine effort. Just Tuesday, the White House announced a partnership to send vaccines directly to pharmacies, and they're picking pharmacies specifically that serve the people most at risk, including socially vulnerable communities. Back in November, the Trump administration ignored advice from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to do something similar with the state allocations. Zinc hopes decisions the previous administration made that did help Alaska will last, especially parts served by the Indian Health Service.
There's a lot of flux still, a lot of changes, but we don't know. We're getting to know a lot of new partners in the transition, so we'll see.
Zinc says the new administration has also said that public health officials will get 3 weeks' notice instead of a few days for how much vaccine to expect in upcoming shipments. As it is, the short notice makes planning the distribution a scramble.
We thought we were going to get just over 6,000 doses in December, and then with less than a week to go, we found out we were getting like over 30,000 doses. Our January allocation, we found out 2 days, 3 days before January, and same with February. So we've been on really, really tight. And it's hard for communities to plan that and stand up point of care dispensing and to get it out quickly.
She says she's also working with the new administration to be more transparent with its data on military and veterans vaccinations, which hasn't been readily shared with state officials. Zinc says she's excited to have more clarity from federal authorities, but it will take some time to shake out. For example, in a public health panel discussion on Wednesday, Zinc fielded a question about if Alaska can expect more vaccine this month.
What I would start by saying is we don't know. So I've been in conversation with Operation Warp Speed today about potentially additional vaccine coming in the state at some point, as well as partnership with the Federal Pharmacy Partnership, which may get vaccines separately.
She also wrapped up her answer by saying, we don't know. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The Alaska House of Representatives elected a temporary speaker today, Independent Representative Josiah Aluxarak Putketuk from Utqiagvik, will preside over the House until there's a permanent speaker. 17 days into the legislative session, this is the first action the House has successfully taken. The step doesn't resolve the divide that has prevented the chamber from picking a permanent speaker and organizing committees or from considering legislation. Putketuk was elected in November at the age of 26 and is the second youngest member of the House. He expressed optimism in his first words after taking the gavel.
Well, first off, I'd like to say thank you for the vote of confidence, and we'll get through whatever we're getting through right now.
The vote for Putketuk was 39-0. As an independent, Putketuk has been seen as a potentially important vote in determining the House majority. On previous votes for temporary speaker, he has joined the members of the former House Majority Coalition, which includes 15 Democrats, three other independents, and Kodiak Republican Representative Luis Stutz. Putketuk's fellow Bush Caucus members, representing predominantly rural districts in northern and western Alaska, are members of the coalition. Tok Republican Representative Mike Kronk nominated Putketuk, who was the only nominee on Thursday. Anchorage Democratic Representative Matt Klayman moved for a vote. There were no nominations for a permanent speaker. Over the previous 16 days, the House split 20-20 on all nominees for temporary speaker, including Fairbanks Republican Bart Lebon, Anchorage Republican Laddie Shaw, and Nome Democrat Neil Foster. The House is scheduled to hold another floor session on Friday morning. And the U.S. Department of the Interior said Wednesday that a former attorney at the Native American Rights Fund in Alaska and a member of the Chickasaw Nation in Oklahoma will become a top official in the agency. Natalie Landreth will become deputy solicitor for land with the Interior Department after spending 17 years with the Native American Rights Fund, which represents tribes and treaty rights, public lands, aboriginal rights, and environmental laws. Representative Deborah Holland, a member of the Laguna Pueblo tribe in New Mexico, was nominated by President Joe Biden to lead the Interior Department in December. If confirmed, Holland would become the first Native American person to lead the agency. You're listening to KTOO News in Juneau, and I'm Pablo Arauz Peña.